But the Holy Spirit has really felt that we need to look into Jesus Christ as our good shepherd. And man, I'll tell you what, you get the 23rd Psalm memorized, and you know what God is saying to you that, and it is so much comfort and so much peace. No matter what's going on around you, you can always say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in fear. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be. I shall not be. I will just be his sheep. So this morning we're going to start out again by reading the 23rd Psalm. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the NIV version, and in the King James, it's a little bit different, but the words all mean the same. God is telling us some very, very important, very, very crucial things. First of all, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd, you know. The CDC is not my shepherd. They have good advice, you know. WHO's got good advice. But the Lord is my shepherd, and I will walk accordingly. Somebody approached me, and they really confronted me about the seriousness of this. And I said, really, you do not have to preach to this preacher, because I've been bedside when people die of illness. Okay? But the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. So I'm not going to go into that fear place, because he's there with me. Okay? He is mine, and I am his. And we talked about that. We talked about we need to be God's sheep. We need to follow him. This whole thing is like, it's about God. It's about his will. It's about his path. It's about him saying it's time to lay down. It's time to drink. It's about him doing all this because he loves us so much. This whole passage is about the love of God. This whole chapter in Psalms is about the love of God and how he wants to guide us and lead us. The Lord is our shepherd. I'm not going to be in want. In fact, that word means not to lack and not to fail. Isn't that amazing? God says, if you follow me, it's not going to always be easy, but I guarantee you, you will never lack and you'll never fail. Because the one thing that we're trying to fill up relationship with in that important place in our heart that needs to connect, is we're trying to fill it up with everything else. And God says, no, if you come to me and if I'm your shepherd, you're not going to be in want. Cindy, she talked about our bum lamb Snowball and how she would just hold him. Snowball was not a wanting bum lamb. He was spoiled. But because of that, there was a bond between her and him for the rest of his life. Because of that, he knew, hey, I'm taken care of. When all the rest of the sheep were freaking out, he just turned over and looked at Cindy like, well, she's standing there. She's not freaking out. Things are good. And that's the way we need to be with our Lord and Savior. We're not in want. When we follow Christ, he restores our soul. It says, he restores my soul. Every part of us, spirit, soul, and body, he does it. Jesus does not ask us to follow him until we're ready. Sometimes we run off half-cocked before we are ready. Or sometimes we're like, nope, not going there, and God's got to prod us a little bit. But God anoints those he appoints. That's an old saying in the church, and it's true today, just as true as it's been for years and years. What it means is God gives you what you need, okay? He says, okay, let's go this direction, and he gives you what you need. Now, I would like to point out something, and Cindy, I think you guys, gals have covered it maybe in your study, or if not, we were talking about it, is, you know, there's a saying that God will never take you any place you can't handle. That's a lie. And you're like, what, Pastor, you're preaching. Whoa, no, you know, I've heard people say over and over and over again, God will never take you someplace that you can't handle. You want to know something? That is a lie, because if you could handle it, you wouldn't need God. Think about it. That, you know, sometimes we say something, you go, yeah, he's not going to take me any place I can't handle. He's not going to take you any place he can't handle. You might not want to handle it. You might not be it, but God says, I'm here to restore you. I'm here to lead you. And yeah, you're not going to handle it. Sometimes you're just going to run back to the shepherd. You see, God loves us so much that sometimes he takes us to places that just scare us right back into his arms. And I've been there many, many times. I've been in situations I can't handle. And in fact, I've been in situations I didn't handle very well. You ever been there? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. You ever just, you know, basically wanted to just punch somebody in the face? Yeah. Well, hey, you know, maybe you have. I don't know. But sometimes, you know, we need to realize that when we're to our limits, that's when God kicks it in. That's when we need to run to him the most. Even though we talked about those two words, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You know, up until this time, God's guiding us to pastures and water, and he's our good shepherd. And then, even though, it's like, okay, everything's good. Now here's the addendum and the clause, you know, the balloon payment. You know, he says, even though I walk through, I will fear no evil because you, okay, you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Last week we talked about the rod, about the scepter of God, what that means. And this week we're going to talk about the staff and the rod a little bit more. I shared with you last week that when I used to read this, the rod is not very comforting to me. Because when I was little, we had, you know, the old wringer washer, we had these laundry sticks. They were 3/4-inch oak dowel. And my mom used to use the rod to, you know, tune me up if I got way out of line. So we're going to talk about what it means to be disciplined and what it means to be punished. Because a lot of people say, well, God disciplines his children, but he doesn't really punish them. Well, you need to read the Bible again. Okay? Today's going to be a little uncomfortable for a lot of us. This was one of the hardest sermons I put together in this whole thing. Been floating through, like, oh man, that's so awesome. We're going to love this. We're going to love that. We're going to love this. And we talked about the scepter of God last week and how the scepter of God is the power of God. How Esther, when she went before the king and she touched the scepter. That was something very bold. That was something to get you killed back in those days. And she did it. And the king was so impressed with basically her attitude of willing to be the queen, of willing to sacrifice everything that she had. And he looked at her and he said, Esther, up to half of my kingdom, I will grant you anything up to half of my kingdom. All she wanted was a chance for her people to defend themselves because Haman was trying to kill all the Jews. So the power of God is the scepter of God. The power of God covers everything. But the power of God also is righteous and just. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But before we get there, what I want to do is I want to look at the staff in Psalm 23. We've looked at the rod a little bit. We looked at the power of God. And then it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Okay? Our comfort in the rod is God's supreme power over us. Okay? That's our comfort in the rod. Okay? Our comfort in the staff is this. The Lord disciplines the child that he loves. Now, discipline and punishment are two different things. And if you've ever taken a love and logic class, if you've ever done any, you know, child raising, you know, devotions, you'll know that discipline and punishment are two different things. And we're going to talk about that. But God uses the staff, the shepherd's crook, so to speak, to discipline us. And a lot of us we think discipline and punishment are the same thing. Because we don't like discipline. You know, they don't do it so much anymore, but when somebody kind of got out of line, a young man would get out of line, the judge would say, okay, you're either going to jail or you're going in the army. And I tell you, I've seen both. I'd take jail. Because I tell you, the army, they know how to discipline. They totally break you into little bitty pieces, and then they create this new soldier, okay? They do a really, really good job of disciplining people. I can always tell when someone is either in the military or they've come back to the military. I know I'm a few years older than most, but I don't get sir that much. And when I get sir, usually I just say, so how long you been in the military? And, you know, well, I just got out, sir, you know. And it's kind of, you know, it's amazing that When God disciplines us, we start looking at him differently. We look at him with respect and awe and reverence because he does it so perfectly. And that word discipline, does it still kind of give you like creeps? Huh? Come on, be honest. You think about discipline, you're thinking about a diet and exercise, right? You're thinking about somebody standing there, you know, like you're going to get this right. You know, I'm going to smack you alongside of the head. You think about Gibbs, right, in NCIS hitting, you know, him back there, you know. I mean, you know, we have this thing of discipline, but it says in Hebrews 12, 5 and 7, it says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. It says, God's serious about this, okay? And do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because God does, because we mess up. It says, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. Now this part catches a lot of people, a lot of Christians off guard. And he punishes everyone he accepts as son. See, there's this place in our walk when our attitude is right and when we've got this humble and following attitude with God, he disciplines us. But when we step out of line, it says that he disciplines those he loves, but he punishes those he accepts as sons. You think about it. Kids, they get out of line. We still love them, but we treat them differently. You know, we might time out them. That's punishment. You know, we might spank their little bottom. That's punishment. We might say, hey, there's not going to be any special treat before you go to bed tonight. That's punishment. That's taking away something. This is what discipline is. Discipline looks like this. It says, the word discipline in the Greek and in the Hebrew means one thing. It means, well, three or four things, but it means the same thing. That's what I meant. To educate, to train, and to nurture. To educate, train, and to nurture. That's what discipline is. When we are molding lives, when we are kind of guiding people into places, we are trying to educate them, we're trying to train them, and we're nurturing them in the process. You know, the old sandwich, you know, wow, you're doing such a great job, but you're kind of stupid, but you're doing a great job, you know, to sandwich that, you know. I mean, you know, when somebody starts, it wasn't a good sandwich, I know. I kind of just flew into my mind, you know. But I mean, you know, it does work. You shouldn't say you're stupid. We don't use that word anymore, right? Yeah. You should say, you're doing a great job. Now, here's some areas you could improve, but you are doing a great job. Is that better? Okay. That is really nurturing, okay? That is guiding. That is educating, okay? Where punishment is like, okay, you went. One time my mom said to me, she said, I have had it up to here. And I said, well, next time why don't you tell me when you've had it up to here and I'll stop. I got a spanking, okay? I was punished for that insubordination. And so you see, it's two different things. My mom was trying to guide me and disciple me, and I just wouldn't have it. I was just being an arrogant little poop, and so then she had to punish me. And God is the same way. He's like, I'm doing everything I possibly can to educate you, okay, to bring training and to nurture you. The staff in Psalm 23, it deals with discipline, correction, rescue, and salvation. Wow. It's all of those things. And it's very interesting that David used the staff as a symbol for this. And David was a shepherd, and he knew how to use the staff, okay? Discipline is a positive method, like I've said. It's teaching self-control. It's teaching confidence. And it's teaching responsibility is what it is, okay? The key to positive discipline is to teach what behavior is okay and what behavior is not okay. And it's very basic. Psychologists have studied this. Discipline, okay, for a majority of the people, works really, really well, and punishment doesn't. But we have those people, they just got to step outside of that, cross that line, and then punishment is necessary, okay? But where most of us are in this walk, okay, is in this discipline. I'm not saying that as Christians we don't step outside and we keep going that direction. God's going to bring. He says he punishes his sons. He loves us. He wants, you know, it's his desire that none should perish, but that everyone come to the knowledge of salvation. That's God's desire. So here we are, in this positive method. The staff is this. You see, God loves us, and he uses the staff to correct our path. Now, you know, you don't see this much anymore. We used to run sheep, and we'd take them, we'd load them up in trucks, and they weren't trained to follow us, but they did know what a staff, and they knew what a sheepdog was. But a lot of times, like, you're loading up sheep, and see, my arms, I only got a 6-foot reach. But if I had a 5-foot staff, all of a sudden, I've got an 11-foot reach. You know, and that staff, and you, man, you'd get really good. And it's got a little hook on the end. It's not just a stick. It's got a little hook on the end. So you can use that to block, to guide. You know, you're basically making yourself a fence. And the next time that God's trying to get you to do something and you're kind of out there a little bit ways, you know, just kind of look in your mind and you're going to see Jesus. Every time you kind of think, oh, I'm kind of getting out there. I should probably stop this and I should get back where God, you're going to see Jesus out there with this staff like a goalie, except there's not a puck in the world that can get past him. You know what I'm saying? Now you're going to see Jesus with a hockey stick, aren't you, instead of a shaft. Okay, staff. But anyway, that's what he uses that for. He uses the staff. The shepherd uses the staff to get the sheep to move, to extend his reach. Now, the thing about God's reach is it's indefinite. So no matter what you get yourself into, God's reach is always out there trying to get you back to where you need to be. So God loves us, and he uses the staff to correct our path. God uses the crook of the staff to rescue us. One time, we had a place on the farm that, well, it was our manure pile, but it was our new manure pile. We had a dairy. And if you broke through the crust, it just wasn't pretty, okay? And one time I had a sheep, and he got in there. Of course, he snuck through there, and I looked down here. There he is, he's sunk neck deep in poop. Have you ever felt like you're sunk neck deep in poop? And I'm looking at this guy, and I'm thinking, there ain't no way I'm going out there, because I'm going to be, you know. But he was like, you know, from here to Cindy, and there he was, you know. And so I went back, and we had shepherd crooks, we had staff. I went back and I thought, you know, I was kind of new at this. I thought, well, hey, you know, they say you can grab one of them guys by the head and pull. And I went, you know, and I did. I grabbed him and I pulled him right out with that thing. I'm not saying it was easy. But, you know, sometimes we just get neck deep in poop. And God takes his staff and he just reaches down and he just pulls us right up out of there. You see, the staff is not only to correct our path, but the staff is there to rescue us. God rescues us so many times. How many times, just think about it, how many times has God rescued you from a situation? Maybe right before you were in it or right after? You know, I don't know about you, but I've seen God move so many times to rescue an attitude that I had or to rescue a decision I'd made, and God was there, and the staff is there for you. God uses the staff also as a weapon to protect us. I tell you what, some of the old sheep herders, they were like kung fu masters with their staff. There's stories of guys killing coyotes with those things. They definitely killed snakes with them, you know. And I wouldn't want to be trying to steal somebody's sheep if he had one of those in his hand. And the staff of the Lord is our protection. It doesn't just guide us. It doesn't just rescue us. But it is our protection. In Isaiah 54:17, it says that no weapon against us will prevail. And I didn't put it up on the screen. I want you to look at this one. Isaiah 54:17. It's really neat. It's a promise. It's Isaiah 54 and 55. They're the messianic prophecies. Isaiah 54:17, it says that no weapon forged against you will prevail. Which it means that God is looking at protecting you before the enemy has even sent his attack. The enemy is just getting ready to attack. And the Lord is already there to protect you. And his staff is there to protect you. His staff is there. You see, no weapon against us will prevail. But it also says, remember Hebrews 12:6, The Lord punishes everyone He accepts as sons. I want to touch on this a little bit so we have a better understanding what this means. Because so many times, you know, I was talking with somebody up at the college the other day, and they were talking about domestic violence and a lot of the things, you know. And I said, you know, really, I said, society in America has a lot of really good tools in place that people will use them to deter people from abusing other people, if they'll use them, okay? And I've been involved in that many, many, many times as a pastor with police departments in the area. And the thing is we need to realize that a lot of times in our culture, we don't understand what punishment is. We think punishment is violence and domestic violence. We think of the overbearing father or mother or the bully child, okay, that basically uses force to push their way on other people. That's not punishment. Punishment, it says here, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, Hebrews 12:6, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son. Punishment is brought to us because of love. It's not because of anger. It's not because of violence. It's not because of you know, someone being a tyrant. God punishes in love. He does it differently. You see, this word punish means this. In the Hebrew and the Greek, it means this: to confute. Now, you know what I love about doing a word study is you find out that confute means to prove that you are wrong, to convict. So when God brings a situation of punishment into your life, and punishment is quite different from discipline. Go ahead and leave that up there. But it's quite different because punishment may be physical, it may be psychological. It may be in the form of disapprovement, isolation, or shaming. One time, my grandpa Wilson never, ever, ever used any physical form of correction in our us grandkids. But my grandpa, we loved him so much. And I use him as an example of what I think, you know, God's qualities are sometimes. All my grandpa had to do was look at you with a look of disapproval, and you just changed. Doing whatever you did. And I remember one time I just really let him down, and he looked at me and I quit doing something forever. That's punishment. That look of disapproval. Now sometimes, you know, God uses a physical thing. I've known God uses physical things. Sometimes, you know, it's, hey, you gotta slow down a little bit, okay? Or, you know, a mental, an emotional. You know, sometimes it is isolation. Sometimes it's taking things away. Punishment focuses on past misbehavior. God's looking at you. He says, you got a future, but you keep going to your past. You see, when we keep going to our past, when we keep doing that thing over and over and over again, then God says, okay, I've tried to lead you. I've tried to rescue you. I've tried to do all these things with the staff. Now it's time to use the rod. It's time to step the game up a little bit. It's time to get your attention. We say that a lot, don't you? I remember one time my mom says, I'm going to get your attention. And once that finger came up in the air, she already had my attention. You know, and God's like, I'm going to get your attention now. And God doesn't want to do this, but He loves us. He wants to show us that we're wrong. In fact, He will prove that we're wrong. He will. And He will bring conviction before we have to experience conviction. Because let's face it, if you let sin go long enough, you know, if you don't let God convict you, the court system will. That word goes both ways. And it deals with punishment, okay? God says, here, let me convict you before you're convicted. Let me convict you so you're convicted so we don't have to convict you. Isn't it fun? English word and plays. But anyway, that's what it is about. When we blatantly step out of the covering of the staffer's will and his protection of his staff, you know, and sometimes we're all there. Come on. Let's be real. We've all got to the place where God's like, okay, I've been trying to do this, and you just aren't listening. But when we continuously and blatantly do that, okay, then God uses the rod, that scepter that we talked about, the rod of power, the rod of His supremacy, the rod of His supreme rule. In the story of Esther, we covered it a little bit last week, but in the story of Esther, she said to her uncle Mordecai, I don't want to go before the king because I have not been summoned. And the penalty of going before the king is death, unless he tips his rod, his scepter of approval, and summons you there. You see, the reason that the rod of God is so comforting is when we go before Him, and we're always before Him. Everything that we do is before Him. Okay? But if we go into His court, into His realm, into His life, as His children, as His subjects, and we're we're goofing off in the court of God, He might tip that scepter, and the guards might take us out. Now, we won't get killed, but we will definitely go someplace where He gets our attention. Many of you know our grandson Seth, and when he was, what, about three or four? Three. Yeah, because he couldn't read yet, and he's just a fun-loving kid. He's got a lot of energy, and his dad was always saying, Seth, quit dinking around. Seth, quit dinking around. And we were going into the Dairy Queen, and they have a little sign there. I don't even know what the sign says, something about, you know, I don't know. There's a little sign right next to the door. And we had one of his Seth's friends, and he goes, you see that sign right there? His little friend, yeah. Seth said, that sign says, no dinking around. And you want to know something? God just gets to the point where it's like, okay, I'm done with you dinking around. And the scepter of power, okay, He lowers that. Because He loves us. Because He wants to correct us. You see, God does that. And I don't know, you know, a lot of people, well, how does He do that? Every situation's different. And you may find yourself, you know, in some very, very, you know, serious discipleship. That's why it's discipline and discipleship basically deal with the same. You might find yourself, but you might find yourself where you're like, wow, whew, I've gone so far, now there's consequences, and I've got to face these consequences. How am I going to face them? That's kind of, you know, could be. It could be that He's not punishing you. He's disciplining you. And a lot of people are like, well, how do you tell the difference? We're going to get to that. It's really, really hard. Because usually when we're out there getting in trouble, we're not paying attention. we don't want to admit that we're out there in trouble. Our pride is probably pushing us a little bit. You know, our ego is pushing us a little bit, and we just don't want to admit, oh boy, I'm probably out there, you know. So it's kind of hard for us to. Sometimes the best thing is to listen to the people around you if you have good friends and godly counsel around you. Sometimes even the worst people around you. I got rebuked one time by an individual that I thought was the vilest, most heathen person in the world. And I got rebuked by them, and it was such a shock. And I know that God used that person because I was on the verge of punishment. And I know that God used that person as His rod of power, and that person said something to me, and I changed my attitude, and I changed my ways really, really fast. And I came home, and Cindy was in the middle, and she says, what's up? And I go, you know, so-and-so said this to me. She goes, yeah. She's just praying. She wanted to say it, but she was just praying for me. Because, you know, she's just Cindy. I wasn't going to hear it from her. She said it. She knew. But, man, I heard it from that guy, because I was like, whoa. That person told me that I was doing something and I needed to stop it, and he did it all the time. And I was like, what? So it's kind of hard, you know. But the rod and the staff show us this. They show us the perfect balance of our Lord, the Good Shepherd. And that's what I want us to get here, okay? The perfect balance. The staff is the Lord of salvation, the Lord of rescue, the Lord of correction, and the Lord of discipline, okay? We grow best if we stay there. Okay, do your best to stay there. We grow best. Even if things are hard, Okay, even things are going, we go to prayer, we can be frustrated, we can be confused, but you go to prayer and you find peace. Because you know that you're there, you know that the shepherd's there with you, okay? The rod is the all-powerful, sovereign Lord of righteousness and justice. Now, sometimes we're like David. David wrote a psalm about how the unjust get away with everything, and the just, the righteous, they struggle. But then he came to his senses and he said, but you are the Lord. You're in charge of everything. You see, the rod is the all-powerful. It is the sovereign Lord of righteousness and justice. Under his protection, we are the safest. No matter where we are physically or spiritually, we are all under his power. But when we are there under his will, we are the safest. Outside of his will and protection, we are at risk of drifting away from him. And he doesn't want that, and so he brings corrective punishment. Kind of quiet in here. So, how do I know if I'm being discipled or punished? Okay, I got some questions. These are questions that I ask myself when I get to that point where, okay, God, I've been playing with it. I need to take a step back, okay? Here's this first one. You're going to love this one. Do I want to be repentant or do I want to be right? Come on, we work with people all the time. We interact with people and they just got to be right. You know? I had a young man, you know, come in this week and he wanted to talk politics. And I said, I don't know. Oh no, but he had all these really wonderful ideas, you know. And I said, okay, you're right. He goes, well, that was easy. I go, well, I don't want to argue with you. And I said, if I say you're not right, we're going to argue until hell freezes over. And I said, oh, by the way, I told him, hell won't freeze over. Some people are just going to spend eternity there. And he says, why do you always have to say things like that? I said, I don't know. I said, but yeah, you can be right if you want. And he goes, well, am I? And I go, I said, I don't want to argue with you. I said, I would much rather, okay, keep our relationship than offend you, because I said, he goes, but you don't think I'm right? And I go, nope, I don't. I said, I've thought the way I've thought for 65 years, and I've changed it a little bit, but not a lot. And I said, I doubt that I'm going to change it. He goes, well, why? I said, because I'm not going to trust a guy, because he was talking about politics. I said, I'm not going to trust a guy, number one, who owns multiple houses and flies everywhere in an airplane, and tells me that I have to give all of my money to somebody else when he won't. I said, there. I said, does that make sense? Well, not when you put it that way. I said, well, I did put it that way. I said, the kind of people that really want to make change, they do give up everything. Absolutely everything. And I said, they walk their talk before they talk their talk. And I said, so you can be right if you want, but you might want to think about it. I didn't want to be right. I wanted to be righteous. You see, do you want to be repentant and righteous, or do you want to be right? And sometimes we just want to be right. You know, you just do. Are you focused on God working in you, or do you blame others for your circumstances? Because when we want to be right, usually we're blaming somebody else for our circumstances. When we want to be right. I just want to be repentant and righteous. God, I'm going to let you have this. If they want to be right, they can be right. And I'll just say, hey, I'm not looking for an argument here. I love the Lord. I believe this way. But I respect where you're at. And then you pray for that person. Secondly, do you tell God what you want more than asking him what he wants? I'm telling God a lot less what I want these days. You know? Yeah. Or, Lord, do I want what you want? Listening is the most important part of learning and growing. We teach that. In every communication, in every relationship thing, listening is so important. You know, that's why God gave us 2 years, 2 ears and one mouth, because we're supposed to listen at least twice as much as we're supposed to talk. And I just ask myself, okay, am I telling God what I want, or am I listening and am I growing? Okay, here's another thing. When you pray, do you feel peace or pressure? Because if you feel peace, okay, there's a really good chance you're following God's will. If you feel pressure, either you're following your will, or maybe you're not quite following God's will, or maybe you're straying and God says, look, I'm putting some pressure on you because I want you to come back before that whole punishment thing starts, okay? You see, when I ask this question myself, I ask myself this: do I see my journey with God right now as someone who's holding his hand, or someone who's pushing against him because he's trying to go a different direction? And all of us are thinking about the child who does not want to go home, or who does not want to go somewhere, and the parent is dragging them alongside. We've seen this a lot in grocery stores and stuff, you know. And or the child is just happy and is just walking with God, and you're talking and having a wonderful journey. So, you know, do you feel peace or pressure when you pray? Are you walking in that journey, or do you feel like you're pushing or pulling? Number four, are you embracing or avoiding the things of God? I've been a pastor and a worship. I've been a worship leader way longer than I've been a pastor. And I find myself, I mean, man, God, I just ask the Holy Spirit to correct me. When I start, I played a lot of 70s rock and roll. Let me put it that way, okay? And when I find myself wanting to listen to that more than worship music, I know that I'm probably going in the wrong direction. And not just in my music, but maybe in my attitudes or my thought. You know, maybe I'm trying to go back to something that, you know, I can justify a hurt, or I can justify this, whatever. But, you know, that rock music is like my little fuzzy cuddly that's all wore out and stinks, you know. And God's saying, no. You know, are you avoiding the things of God, or are you embracing the things of God? Fellowship, worship, prayer, devotion, the Word, serving. Those things. Fellowship, worship, prayer, devotion, the Word, and serving. And, you know, we need not to avoid those things. Okay, and the last thing that I always ask myself, do I want to be comforted or comfortable? Am I saying to God, just leave me alone because I don't want to go there? Just leave me alone. I don't want to deal with that. Or am I going to him and saying, Lord, I want to get through this. I want to be comforted. Because being comfortable is really nice. But you're not going to stay comfortable your whole life. Things change. You know, we always joke about, you know, there being two days in the year up in South Dakota that are really enjoyable as far as weather. 2 days. It's the one day of spring and the one day of fall that we get. And in between that, you're not very comfortable. You're either really cold or really hot. And I know we joke about that, but so many times we are so focused on being comfortable. We're telling God, leave me alone. I just want to be where I'm at. And God says, no, you can't stay there. Come here. Let me comfort you. Let me give you the strength. Let me give you whatever you need to get through it. And instead of having God to put something out there that brings us back, we just need to turn around and say, okay, God, here I am. I'm here. Now, those are some things that you can look at and say, okay, God, where am I at? Where am I at in this discipline? Am I walking with God? And let's be real. We're humans. We're not always like, oh yeah, I'm there, God. Let's do this. Let's learn something. You know, let's get disciplined. Let's go here. And I'm loving. We're humans. We get to that point. It's like, no, this is far enough. Or well, I'm just gonna go la 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 la. And God says, no, I want you back. So we're always in a state of God using his staff and using his rod to get us where we need to be in him. But we need to remember this as we study this portion of Scripture. We need to remember this. The Good Shepherd uses what he needs to get us to where we need to be. The Good Shepherd uses, okay, what he needs to get us to where we need to be. If we love Christ, we will let him comfort us, and we will let him lead us. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Good Shepherd will use what he needs to comfort us. And sometimes it's not comfortable. Once again, do you want to be comforted or do you want to be comfortable? God prefers that we're comforted. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that even, Lord, when we read the words of the Bible, and even when those words make us feel uncomfortable, when we look into the whole motive behind it is that you love us. The whole motive behind us growing in you, the whole motive of us staying out of trouble, of us wandering off, is that you love us. So, Father, I pray that as your sheep, we would realize that whatever we're going through, wherever we're at, whatever you're up to, Lord, we can know this, that you love us. And you're doing this for us because you love us. So, Father, we pray that somehow you would give each and every one of us a revelation of your love through your staff, and through your rod, a revelation of your love as we travel this life's journey with you. We just pray this in Jesus' name.